Hello. Hey. Welcome, welcome to the Marriage Playbook. We are so excited to be here on tonight, and we just thank you guys for tuning in. We are so, so happy for you to be here. This is another Monday evening here in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, the Marriage Playbook with your coaches, Francis. Yes, so we are excited, and look, we're going to get this show started on tonight. We are stepping into a new season, everyone. We're just so grateful to just continue to be on to bring some important information. Listen, callers, we want to hear from you on this topic tonight. Share your stories or your testimonies at 646-668-8485. The number is 646-668-8485. Listen, you can go to the website and go on at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. Also, we're taking all of your comments from our email. That's the Marriage Playbook @gmail.com. Send the information right over there. Send your comment, and we're going to say it live on the air. You can go to Facebook and like us on Facebook, The Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. We're also on Instagram and Twitter, so go on to The Marriage Playbook there also. So, again, we're so excited. Last week's show was phenomenal, and I know a lot of times we bring a lot of information to you, and it may be on how to help marriages and how to get through marriages or things you should do before you get married. But let me tell you something. Last week we talked about the love of marriage. We talked about the goodness of marriage last week. And we're going to do that again, but not soon. But we'll do a second segment, a part two on that. It was wonderful. We thank all of our callers last week and all of those who sent comments. They were truly encouraging words to those who are married and could want to continue to be uplifted in their marriage, and those who may even been struggling in their marriages. All those testimonies were just so wonderful to hear that marriage is a terrific thing. You know, marriage is wonderful. So how you feeling today, Coach Eric?
Feeling pretty good on this Monday evening. Thank you for being here with us, the Marriage Playbook. One more time, this is Season 5, Game 1, man. You believe Season 5,
yes.
Game 1. Our topic tonight, you can't always get what you want. Now, we're not going down to negative time because we're going to try to offer some solution. We're going to try to get into the origin of why things got that way and how to make things better. You know, because actually, you know, life happens to all of us. Even the Bible says chance in life happens to all of us, you know. So it's just going to happen, you know. We can't control everything that happens. Even with all the ambitions we have and the dreams and the goals, some of them we achieve, some of them we don't, some of them fulfilled, some of them not. You know, and this includes marriage, you know. So we don't always get what we want. You have some men of God that's looking for that virtuous woman, that good thing the Bible talk about. You got women of God looking for their Boaz, you know, and then sometimes we don't know what we get until we do get them, okay? And sometimes it's not a problem. It's just that we got to adjust to a lot of stuff.
That's right.
Okay, so we're going to talk about what do you do when you come into a situation in your marital relationship and there's issues. You feel betrayed or you feel disappointed, not only at your spouse but about the relationship. Things are not going well. You feel discouraged, you know. So we don't always get what we want, but when we don't get what we want, what do we do now? All right, where do we go from here when it's not what we wanted? And that's what we're going to talk about today on the Marriage Playbook. And we're going to get right into it. Okay, and our first segment is called this. What were you looking for? What you get? What were you looking for and what did you get? Now, I'm going to make this little statement because it's a matter of perception. Perhaps we were looking for what we wanted, but we got what we need. Or perhaps you didn't care about what you need and just got what you wanted. And then you find yourself in the situation and you're really not happy in it. Either way it goes, in the marriage, we have to make this work. We have to make the decision that we're going to make this thing work. Why? Because it's really not about us in the marriage. You know, so I can go a little further and talk about that, but one of the things I want to bring out is the way we perceive marriage to be, or the way we view marriage from a natural standpoint. This is both men and women. This is not a gender thing. what we're looking for and what do we get? Well, the wedding and the wedding reception, if you had a wedding or a wedding reception, deals with the celebration of the marriage. Oftentimes, we don't translate the celebration of the marriage into our actual marriage. Okay, we celebrate the day, but then the life that we have to live, we don't celebrate in the life. Okay, and I'm just, Brother Eric, just trying to give you a little bit of perception of marriage. We have to celebrate the concept of marriage in order to survive in it. We have to believe in it.
That's right.
If we don't believe in it, then we shouldn't even get in it. Because what's the difference of spending all that money to have this nice party and you bring your families together and you have that great time, and then the next day or the next week or the next month or the next year, you're not having a good time anymore?
That's right.
What's the use of doing all of that celebrating and setting all that money up and putting that money out and making all these reservations and going on vacation, on honeymoon, and doing all these things, and then when the actual life begins, you don't have that same fervor or that same energy or that same celebratory attitude?
And I love what you said, Coach Eric, because that's what we have to understand, that life does not end after the ceremony, and it doesn't have to. You know, I love what Coach Eric said. It doesn't have to stop. It doesn't have to keep being loving. It doesn't have to keep being joyous. It does not have to keep, you know, you guys, your date nights and going out. And I understand after a while, if you didn't have children in the beginning and then you end up having children, the thing that I always tell people, they got to be so careful, even as the children come into play, you can't, and I know it's hard when you're a first-time parent, and you're parenting, so protective. You're overly protective of the child. You know, you really don't trust them with anyone, and you don't want nobody to babysit them, and you don't want to. No, you have to, I know you have to take time to get comfortable, but let that not be the reason why you and your spouse don't spend time with each other. Don't let that be the reason why, you know, you're not going out to dinner with one another. Also, when we talk about, even if it comes to finances, you know, it's cheap things you can do for cheap date night. Me and Coach Eric got married in the beginning. We wasn't doing all this traveling and stuff. It was cheap date nights. But we made sure, because these are things you got to talk about in the beginning to know that things are going to come up in the marriage that may have you both looking at each other differently. And it's going to challenge you, and it really shouldn't. You know, so again, communication is always the key to relationship, especially when you're getting into it. You should be able to talk about everything to your spouse, unless you went into the marriage with the wrong motive. If you went in with a wrong motive, if you went in not being honest and things like that, then guess what? You know, it's going to be a little hard because now you're keeping secrets. So don't keep secrets from one another. Be open, be honest, and know after the wedding, that's when the marriage starts. But it should still be just as wonderful.
Just as,
and it can be.
Just as fun. Just as fun. Now, you know, think about this. Here's something. It just came to me. Look at all the work that you put into your reception and the making the arrangement, all the work and the details that you put in, your color scheme, all right, the style of wedding you were going to have, what style of reception, the colors, you know, what kind of decorations you were going to use, where the hall was going to be, what you were going to do, what was the menu like, you know. So all these things comes into play. All that work it took to get that done. Now you're married now, okay? And I said all this to say this. Marriage is work. Marriage is work, and this is how it works. Marriage is work, but you have to love your job.
Yeah.
Marriage is work, but you have to love your job. Loving your job is what makes marriage work. So marriage is work, and you have to love your job, and loving your job is what makes marriage work. It boils down to your perception of your marriage versus your projection of your marriage. See, what did you project in your marriage? Like I said, life happens to everyone. People always make projections about what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. And projections don't always come true, or they don't pan out. And it happens in everything. It happens in sports. It happens in marriage. It happens in business. You know, you think basketball teams and football teams think they go into the game, think they're going to lose the game? Their projection is that they're going to win every game. But it don't always happen like that. You know, the challenge is, you know, how strong are you going to be in the face of adversity? When you have a setback, are you going to try again just as hard as you tried the first time? If you lose one game and then you lose the rest of the games because you stop trying. Okay? You got to come in the second game the same way you came to the first game, with the expectation of victory. Okay? Giving it your best shot. You know, because, see, we're advocates for marriage. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say, listen, if it don't work out, get a divorce. Too many people do that. You know, with marriage, you got to take it serious. Yeah, it's easy just to quit. Quitters never win. It's easy to quit. And then when you quit and see your spouse marry somebody else and have a beautiful marriage, you be saying, what was wrong with me? Yeah, something was wrong with you. You're a quitter. You got to be able to fight once you get into this thing. And guess what? Marriage is a fight.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to tell you why. And I mentioned this on the last show. Last week I just said the same thing. When you get married, now you've entered into a covenant with God, and it becomes a spiritual thing. Okay, now the spiritual enemy is fighting against your spiritual marriage. So now there's things that are coming against your marriage. Why? Because your marriage represents God. And the devil hates the thing that look like God. And marriage is the snapshot of God. That's what it's all about. God came to bring the family together. So what we're going to do is we want you to call in on the show, 646-668-8485, 646-668-8485. If you want to come into the show and ask your question, please dial 1 before you do that. I'd like for you to check our website out when you get a chance, www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media, okay, and check all the shows out. You can even Google the shows and pull them all up, okay, in no discernible order. Email us, please, and we'll answer back your emails at themarriageplaybook@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook, The Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. You can Instagram The Marriage Playbook, okay?
Okay, so look, I want to get into this because Coach Eric said some valuable things when he just got finished talking about marriage and the fight in marriage. And the thing that I always think about is how I've never been a quitter for anything. I've been disappointed and I've been through things and I've been hurt in situations. But, you know, even through that, and I don't want to go before our segments, but even in that, you know, I found a way to get over that. I understand when you're married and you're with someone and they might hurt your feelings or something may happen, but it shouldn't change the love that you have for an individual. And then also, again, you have to be honest about your expectations, because guess what? We get so mad at our spouses because we got these great expectations, but don't you know they had expectations for you too? You know, they had great expectations for you also, you know, or they expected you to be a certain way. And a lot of times that also is because of what you may have said, things you may have done. You know, were you honest in the thing that you can cook? You know, was you honest that you knew how to clean, that you was a good housekeeper or homemaker? Or, you know, were you honest in those areas of your life? Because how come somebody's expectation is so high of you if you're communicating with one another?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then not only how much you can do and what you can do, but this is what I can't do. I'm not really good at this, and I need you to help me with this. I tell my husband all the time, I'm not good at that. But it's some things that I'm good at that he's not good at, and this is why we can come together. And then on top of that, we're teaching each other. We're not saying, okay, well, that's your area, you know, so you just do it. But I'm like, no, I want to learn it. So if you're never around, then I need to be able to know how to do it, you know?
I really don't know what she's talking about. about me not knowing how to do something. I don't know what it is that I'm not good at. I really don't. I really don't know what she's talking about. But, you know, if she said it, she must believe that. Okay, so look, she made a statement, okay? You know, and it was talking about projecting, all right? Now, you got to understand that you're not going to know everything about your spouse no matter how much you talk, right? Some things come out in the adjustment period. Remember how I always talk about there's an adjustment period in marriage? Here's where we get to learn each other. So we can't make plans beyond the adjustment period because there's much to learn. There's stuff that you don't know about your spouse that you're going to learn. And you can't make decisions until you find out what these things are. Okay, you can't go out and just buy your husband these shoes. It might not be his style. Until you figure out what his style is, you can't buy shoes for him, and vice versa. You know, and these are things that you learn. Now, I'm not talking about you trying to enhance your spouse because they might not be a good dress. They might need your help. But if the person is rather fashionable, they have a certain style about them. It's certain things. Like, my wife can't bring me no purple shoes. I'm not rolling like that.
I'm not going to
bring
you purple shoes.
Yeah, and she's not going to bring me fake alligator shoes. You know, I don't do that. I mean, that might be somebody else's thing, but that's not my thing. You know, I'd rather have leather shoes than have real alligator shoes. I got to pay the money for them. So I'm not going to fake it. You know what I mean? I'm not going to fake it. If I don't have it, I just can't wear it. You know, but if I have it, I'm going to buy the shoes. Okay, that's just me. Other people, they don't care about that kind of stuff. You know, they just roll with it. You know, and I'm not judging that. That's your thing, you know. But you can't deal with expectations on that level because you got to be real with the whole situation with marriage because marriage is the most real relationship there is. All the other relationships, I hate to put this out to you, they're not even real relationships because there's no real commitment there. Boyfriend and girlfriend, that's not really real. There's no commitment. Not for real. There's nothing holding that person there. The next person come along is still your man, still your woman. Why? And I know that can happen in marriage. It shouldn't, but it does, you know. But the real commitment is marriage. That's the only thing that God recognized, okay? So it's real versus what's really fantasy. So when you don't get what you expected, you feel betrayed by that.
That's right.
You know, if the man is coming off like he got a lot of money and he doesn't, you feel betrayed about that dishonesty. You thought he was more secure than that. And it comes to find out that you really got to help him more financially than he said he was. Or vice versa.
Right.
When it's really a misconception or a misjudgment in character. You misjudge your spouse a lot of the times in the beginning. And listen to this. You really misjudge yourself a lot of times in the beginning because you don't know how you're going to react inside a marital situation until you get married. There's things about yourself that you don't know because nobody lived with you long enough to tell you about yourself.
Right.
You didn't know that you were selfish until your wife told you you were selfish. My wife didn't know that she can't eat off my plate. I don't play that. I can't order my food, then order your food, so I can have some of the food. No, you should order what I ordered. Eat what you got. Why you got to taste my food? You know, that's just a pet peeve of mine. And she learned that I just tell her no. Can I taste that? I'm like, no. Now, I'll order that entree for you if that's what you want, but don't eat mine. Okay? That's just my thing. Okay? So you don't know what you're going to do until you get in the situations. You know? And sometimes you really can't handle marriage. You don't know that until you get in it. You might can't handle yourself, but you might can't handle the whole concept of marriage because you didn't understand what it was that you were getting to. That's when we do the show. We always talk. One of our first shoes was, what is marriage? I had that conversation with a friend last night. What is love? What is marriage? If you don't know what that is and you enter into a situation when you got to love someone and to be married to somebody, you need to wait until you find out exactly what that is. Because it might not be something that you can handle right now. Right? Because there might be some changes that you might have to make before you get into that situation. Before you take on a spouse, you might have to handle yourself. You might be selfish, you know, or you might be too bossy. You might want things or like things your way. Okay? You might be too, you know, too crazy about it because, listen, if you're a neat freak, you might marry somebody that's not neat like you. And you got to adjust to this individual who's not neat like you. I had a really good friend of mine had problems in his marriage because his wife wasn't neat like he was. And it almost cost him to go to divorce court because he couldn't take it because he was a very neat person and she wasn't, or vice versa. This kind of thing can happen. Okay? So you got to adjust to the individual. They might not be as clean as you are. Listen to this. They might not be as intelligent as you are. Okay? And this is areas where you can help an individual. I think when you get married to somebody, you should help that individual that you become one with, enhance that person's life. You know, you might be bilingual. You might need to teach that person the language you speak because y'all can speak that together. This person might can't skate or don't know how to play chess. You know, you teach them how to play chess or the card game you like. You teach them how to bowl, so this is something that you guys can do together. Okay, this is what marriage is all about. The things that my wife knows, my wife taught me something last week about cooking that I had no idea about. I never seen nobody do that before, but it was something that she learned from my mother. I didn't even know that. Okay, so you can learn something from your spouse. That's what they're there for. That's the beauty of becoming one with somebody. That's what makes it so wonderful, how the two become one flesh. The Bible even says it's a mystery, how two become one flesh. But guess what? You'll have to learn how to enhance each other. And that's part of the beauty of being married. The things y'all learn from each other and with each other and the things that you do together.
I found one of the things, and I was reading in the Word today, what I find with marriage is that we don't forgive our spouses easily. Even if it is something that, you know, they didn't tell you, we get so angry and we get so distraught and so mad that now we don't have room for forgiveness. We don't have room for grace for them. We don't have the patience. We don't have the, you know, we just don't have the tolerance, you know, and we just get so, that's it, and I'm just done. You know, instead of, I'm learning a lot. And one of the things I'm learning, and I had Sunday school yesterday, I had to teach Sunday school. And one of the things that the Lord has been dealing with me in this season is to how to keep my cup full of grace. You know, how to have the grace that God has given me to be able to extend that same grace to everyone else. You know, same thing even with my husband. If we go through something, it's not godly character to be upset for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hours and overnight and think God is going to be pleased with me. I'm going to get up at 4 a.m. prayer and talk to God, and God going to be pleased with that. No, God going to talk to me about how I dealt with the whole situation. You know, and sometimes we think about always pointing the finger at our spouses, but we never look at what we could have done or how we could have said a thing or how we could have maybe even addressed the issue, you know, without it becoming an argument. And sometimes you just have to be quiet. You know, sometimes you just can't say anything else, even when you want to come back with a comment, you know. But sometimes because we're so hurt and we're so discouraged, you know, or we feel betrayed or we feel like you didn't tell me that. And trust me, it may even be, valuable, something that you should have known. You should have known that if he had children before you got married. You know, some things, yes, you should know. But my thing is, where is the grace and the love of God? You know, when is the grace and the love of God is going to come and deal with the situation? You know, so I thought about forgiveness today. I'm talking about true forgiveness, you know, where once you guys sit down, you discuss it, you know, and you don't see it happening anymore, you know, because sometimes even in our minds, if we don't let go and we don't forgive, what can be a hindrance in the marriage is that the unforgiveness of that thing still being in your mind. And here that person is trying to get better. They're not like that anymore. But all you see is that person, how of what they did, you know. And that's unforgiveness. And if you have unforgiveness in your heart in any way, and it could be the very smallest thing. So what I'm learning is when things come up, when people come up against me or when situations come up against me, I'm learning to go to God and say, Lord, you know this situation, and learn to easily forgive. And always look at it from another point of view. Look at it from the way that the person may view it or see it, you know. And then that's wisdom, and that's knowledge, and that's understanding of who Christ is, you know. So I step back and I look at it and say, okay, I can see you felt like that or why you might feel like that. But also you got to understand that people are only reacting to you or dealing with you according to their perspective. I love the way Coach Eric said that. It's the way an individual perceive a thing. You know, it may not even be there. So definitely you don't want to have unforgiveness in your heart, because things will always look like that and it's not even really there. So, look, we're going to come back and we're going to talk some more about this. Listen, call us. Press 1-646-668-8485. Don't forget the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. We're just so grateful for another season. This is season 5, game 1. Commercial. We'll be right back.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout, so we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills, over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right. Season 5, game 1, you can't always get what you want, and guess what? You don't. You really don't. So we're going to go to our next segment, and it's the byproduct of decision-making, So now that you're in it, now you're in the marriage, this is where you immediately begin to understand what you're dealing with. And like I said, you can't always get what you want. Things don't always go right. And when things don't go right, that's not an excuse for us to give up on it because things are not going right. Woe is me. Boo-hoo. Things don't always go right.
That's right.
You know? And guess what? Things don't always go right. And you can't cry and whine about that. I mean, even God Almighty, when he created things, in heaven it was war. Things didn't even go right with God. And God is perfect. You know, but he had to deal with stuff. He dealt with stuff in heaven with Lucifer. You know, he created Lucifer, and everything about Lucifer was beautiful. He was the worship leader, but he found iniquity in Lucifer's heart, had to kick him out. Things didn't go right, but it went as planned.
Right.
And you got to look at it like that. Things don't go right in your life, but it went as planned. Many of us have relationships with God because things didn't go right. And it went right with God because he was boxing us in for his will. So we don't know why we go through some of the things. And we always blame stuff on the devil, on other people, and sometimes it's God.
Yeah, that's right.
So you don't know why you're going through what you're going through or why your marriage is suffering. It might be the result of your decision-making, and it may be the will of God, because your testimony in the end, how things end up, is going to be a blessing to someone else. Now, we've gone through some of the things that we've gone through so we can tell somebody that God allowed us to overcome these things. And we came out on the other side, and it's going to be blessed. But you got to go through this trial right now. So now that you're in it, you immediately begin to understand what you are dealing with. Okay? How do you make this decision about an individual when you can't possibly know what is in an individual's heart? Now, I need you to think about that for a second. You know, how can you make a decision about whether or not to marry this or trust this individual when you can't possibly know what's going on in that individual's heart? How could you know without God, who is omniscient, who's all-knowing? How can you know without God? Now the question is, why not involve God in our decision-making? Being that he's omniscient and he's all-knowing, why not involve God in our decision-making? Don't you know that your spouse and your marriage, good or bad, is a byproduct of your decision-making? And God knew that you was going to make the decision because he's all-knowing. He knew that you was going to make this decision, that you guys was. God knew from the beginning what was going to happen.
Even if he was trying to rally you from
that. You know, he was trying to help you or change you, direct you. You went against your thinking in your heart, what you knew to be right, or you went against counsel or went without counsel altogether. And even God knew that was going to happen. So then I say, even right now, wherever the situation is, why not involve God in our decision-making now if we didn't in the past? Huh? And why are we trying to blame our mates for everything that is wrong in our marriage? And you got to remember this now. Now, this is the pony that you chose now. And, you know, ponies sometimes have a character where they like to be stubborn. So guess what? You got to do with that pony. You got to ride the pony that you chose. If you got to tighten the saddle a little bit, you know, you got to do that. But you got to ride that pony. That's the pony that you chose. Okay? The way we heal is we got to take responsibility for the decision that we made and then make it work from there.
That a couple things you said, Coach Eric. One of the things was about the counseling. I'm going to the playbook, which we all know is the Holy Bible. So I'm going to the playbook. And the playbook is Proverbs 11 and 14, and it talks about counsel. And it says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know, so we can't be afraid of counseling. Sometimes, or if not most of the time, we don't go to counseling because we already know that the person is not good for us. We already know what the counselor or our pastor, our bishop, apostle, leader, mentor, family member, mom, dad, we already know what they're going to say, so that's why we're hiding them from us. Whoever would give you counsel. And then what we say is to each other, whether it's the spouses, now we done cahoots together and say, oh, yeah, well, they not going to live because they just don't have a man. And then we go through all these other, which we're lying now, because if you be honest, you really do need counsel, and you need someone to be able to identify, not only if it's a problem in the individual, sometimes the counselor may tell you you're not ready. So you can't hide from counseling, you know, and it really is predicated on how effective the outcome is going to be in your marriage, you know. Sometimes that them decisions, the counseling is going to help in that area, you know. And then you have to be honest, like Coach Eric said, that some of the results are because of what you chose. Now, it doesn't make it a bad thing, you know, but now you have to go to God and say, Lord, listen, I need help. I did this, but show me how to fix this. Show me how to make this better. You know, I'm in the playbook again. I love Coach Eric when he said something about healing. Now, we believe God to heal. He will. He has, you know, and he can. He is a healer of all healers. You know, God is the ultimate healer. He is the ultimate doctor. But sometimes we always look at God to heal just sickness and diseases, but we don't think about God coming in and healing our hearts. We don't think about God coming in and healing our situations. You know, we just say, oh, well, God, you the healer of this. But we need to trust God in the area. If it's an area of disappointment, if it's an area of betrayal, God, I need you, especially if you love your spouse. You want to be with your spouse, but you got that thing in your heart that you need to get out. God, I need you to heal my heart from that. You know I was disappointed. It didn't work out like I thought it was. But, God, you are a healer, and I know you can heal this situation. And then you have to be able to willing to talk about it with your spouse, you know. And so I thought about the playbook, and I went to Exodus, the 15th chapter. And above this particular passage of scripture, it says, bitter waters made sweet. That really blessed me. And I said, wow, you know, because there's nothing too hard for God. Again, like Coach Eric said, marriage is not one of those things where everything is going to go the way you plan it, you know, and life situations are going to come up, but that don't mean give up, you know. I mean, I've seen some marriages in some of the worst situations. And the Lord, because they held on, whether it was one spouse or both spouses holding on, but somebody got to hold on, you know. And I've seen it with my own eyes so many times, how that spouse held on, and the love and the prayer and the fasting and the zeal, even the level of respect. Because sometimes we say we're holding on, but then we're being disrespectful to the spouse. You know, we talk to them any kind of way. We mistreat them. And that's not honor. You got to think about it. If you the shoes was on the other foot and you were in that position, how would you want somebody to treat you? You would want that same love and compassion, the same thing God pour out to us. Because this is the thing we got to remember. That person is still a child of God. So even how we treat them in the eyes of God is very important.
All right, we're going to keep it moving. Okay, our next segment, and I titled this deliberately this way, Making Recovery Room. Making Recovery Room. I was going to say making room for recovery, but making recovery room. Now, when we endure hardship in marriage or life, you know, it leaves damage. Spiritually, mentally, and often it leaves damage physically. We have to heal in order to return back to hope and trust in people. And sometimes, depending on how bad it is, we can return to God. So we need to make time for recovery room. We need to make room in our lives to recover, that is, for our minds to recover from the things that happen in our marriage. Some of the things we experienced that were negative and hurtful that we had to go through often leaves a residue of pain from injury and makes us tender in some areas and more reluctant to move or continue the walk in life because of how you feel about a certain thing. Now, you tended to love again, or you tended to trust again, or you tended just to move at all.
End the marriage.
You know, and this happens inside marriages. You get hurt in the marriage, it's the worst place to get hurt is in the marriage, because you got betrayal there, lack of trust. That pain often causes you not to want to move at all. You don't know what to do, because you're perplexed. Okay, now, let's use this analogy. When a woman gives birth, after she has a child, they take her to the recovery room. Okay, they bring the baby to her there, but at some point you got to go home. You can't stay in the recovery room. You got to eventually recover and go home. You got to go back to your life. Your recovery room might not have room for you to recover because it is crowded with the anxieties and fears of the occurrences and the reoccurrences of your past life. So you got to find a way to let God recover you, let him heal you. A lot of that starts with forgiveness. Forgiveness is the best medicine in the world to heal you because you have to let it go. You know, it's like having the pain and holding on to pain, but when you forgive, you got to let the pain go. You You know, you got to let both parties off the hook. The person who did the offense gets off the hook, and the person that was offended gets off the hook and is able to move on because you have relinquished the weight that held you back. Pain is like that. In order for you to move on, you got to give it up. Now, a fully recovered individual leaves the room free of the things that caused them damage or caused them pain. That's why they're able to go home and go back to a normal way of life, because they've left the pain back in the room. And it's not for you to go back and pick it back up once you've been hurt. Now, the marriage playbook says it like this in Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 1st verse. Talks about sin that way, you know. And God understands this. Sin messed us up so bad that God commands us that we got to stand now. So stand fast, therefore now, in the liberty where Christ has made us free. And then it warns us not to go back by saying, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage is sin. God don't want us going back to the thing that was hurting us and the thing that was separating us from God. Same thing works in a marriage. You got to release that thing and stay free from the things that cause you pain. And then not to go back and reminisce of the pain that was caused. Then you be sitting and listening to the blues records and stuff like that and sitting back talking about the pain that was caused in your life, and it was 20 years ago. And 20 years of your life is wasted talking about the pain that happened to you 20 years ago when you should have been moving on and living a joyful life and being productive in your life and being free again. Which brings me to our last segment. And we're going to close the show with this segment. God wants it. God wants it. Here's the solution. The pain that we suffered in our marital relationship and in our life, God wants that. I know it sounds funny, but God wants it. So we have to go to the solution, which is God. When we often go in troubled times and we forget to leave our problems with God, even when we go to God. We forget to leave them with God. You can go to church for many years and go to an altar, and then when you leave that altar, you take your problem to the altar and then take it back home with you, and you still have the problem because you haven't relinquished it and given it to God, because God wants it. He wants to take away not only your pain, he wants to take away your anxieties. God wants to take away your fear. Now, the marriage playbook says it like this, and the play is Peter, the 5th chapter, the 6th and 7th verse. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Now, wait a minute. What does humbling myself have to do with the pain that I suffered? Well, the reason why you're holding on to all that pain and stuff like that, because you care a lot about how you feel to the point now it becomes pride and arrogance and even vengeance now. So, yeah, you got to let go. See, people who is very proud, they don't have to forgive anybody for anything. I'll never forgive you. That's pride right there, because you felt hurt and you want get back. You want revenge for the hurt you felt. And that's the wrong state of mind, because vengeance is mine, said the Lord. He's going to repay that. Okay? So you're getting God's business when you want to get back at your spouse for something that they did to you. Let's make it even simpler. You don't forgive your spouse for something they did, and then you hold it over their head for years and years and years. And they can't never be forgiven for it, no matter what they do. You hold them in the bondage of the offense they made for the rest of their life. So now the individual's not happy and can't really show you the love that you deserve, because you're constantly holding that thing they did over their head. And now they got to go overboard to try to get you to forgive them for that, for the sin or the offense they made, and you really never forgave them. So now your life is not abundant anymore. It's this wedge in the love that you guys could have had, because there's no reconciliation there when there's no forgiveness. You can't come together as a union when you got the things in between you wedging you that you got to let go and give to God. And I tell you right now, God wants it. So it says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And see what I mean? It's got to be under the mighty hand of God. You got to take your whole situation and put it in God's hand, that he may exalt you in due time. And now you're not going to be exalted when you want it, in due time, when God is ready, in God's time. So that means you got to be patient and wait on God. Now here's the part I'm talking about. 7th verse, casting all your care upon him, upon God. Now we don't do that often. We don't give all our stuff to God. We come to God and say, Lord, take it away. God said, no, give it to me. Take the pain away. No, why don't you give it to God? It's your pain, you know, and you have the power to relinquish it. You're the ones that got to forgive. You have the power to relinquish it. It's dangerous for children of God not to forgive, because now you put yourself in jeopardy with God because he forgave you for what you did. What makes you so great that you can't forgive? Now you're casting all this care upon him. Why? Because he's the one that cares for us. God is the one that cares for us. So we might as well give these anxieties, these fears, these hurts to God. It's very dangerous. A person become very embittered because they didn't get what they wanted, and then they got hurt. And now your whole life is about laying blame on the one who hurt you. That's bondage. Not only is that bondage, now you're sitting in the seat of a scornful. Now you're a scorned person. You're scorned, you're hurt, you got unforgiveness. Now let's go back to the recovery room. In the hospital, the emergency room, or the doctor's office, a potential patient must first be what? Diagnosed. This is why we took all this time to break this down to get to this point. You got to diagnose what the problem is before you can come with a solution or a cure. Some of us is mad and we don't even know why we mad. You got to find out what it is. That problem must be what? Identified. So most of us that get hurt in relationships without fully understanding of what happened, we don't identify how mean and bitter we have become to everyone because of what one person has done to us. We mad at everyone. You know what they say, hurt people all the time? Because you hurt, now you're in the business of hurting people because you're hurt. So you're putting people down because this is how you feel. You feel down in every way, even about yourself. You got low self-esteem about yourself, about how you feel about things, which is also pride, when you should be humbling yourself anyway. A person that humbles himself can't have low self-esteem. Why? Because they're humble. This is a symptom of selfishness and pride. Acting out and mad because things didn't go your way, whining because you didn't get things to go your way, boo-hoo, woe is me, things are not going my way, so I'm mad at everybody because it didn't happen for me. You know you don't always get what you want. And let's go back to it. God said he's going to exalt us what? In due time. He's going to lift us up when? In due time, in God's time. The key is diagnosing our faults, which is the beginning of our solution. Diagnose our faults. Look at where we went wrong. Learn how to forgive. Take that stuff to God because he's the one that wants it. He wants all of it. He wants justice for you to bring you back into relationship and fellowship with him. That's what God wants. He wants to fellowship with you. But we fall out of fellowship when we fall into what? Unforgiveness. And we hold on to pain. We don't give our spouse the second chance, the same kind of second chance that God gave us when we came out of the world. Do you remember that? How we was in sin and we did some things, and then we came to God, and he forgave us, made us virgins all over again, gave us a second opportunity of life. Now our second life, our second birth that is being born again in Christ is our new birth of life. Now our abundant life began with Christ once he entered into our life and we surrendered to him and submitted ourselves to his word. Remember that? How God forgave us? So now we enter into a God covenant marriage with an individual and can't find the compassion or the heart to forgive our spouse for what they did and then hold it against them forever. And you're the one that gets all the trouble for it. Why? Because you take all that stuff into your new relationships. And then nobody can deal with you because you're still mad at what someone else did to you. Now, I'm not getting on you. I'm trying to help you be free. I'm trying to help you come to that place in God where you're free. When you're free from it, so that you can move on and be happy again. And sometimes things are so bad in the marital situation that you guys can't make it work. And that's sad that it can't happen, but you still got to move on and be free. Even if the marriage don't work, you still got to forgive that person so that you can move on and live. So I just want to pray for all those that are listening tonight. You might have been hurt in your situation. Marriage might didn't work because you're hurt by what happened. And believe this, I know this from experience. Sometimes, particularly if you're in Christ, because you'd be surprised that a lot of Christians get divorced. Now you feel shame because you feel you let down God because your marriage didn't work. And now you're beating yourself up and saying, what could I have done to make it work? I tried everything, and it didn't happen. And I feel shame when I come to church, and God forbid, in the house of God, when people go through stuff in their marriage life, please try to, if you can't say an encouraging word, don't say nothing at all. Don't involve yourself. We don't want to hear your opinion about that. If it's not godly counsel, keep your mouth shut, please. And I'm talking to the bishops and the ministers and the deacons and everybody. Keep your mouth shut, please, off that marriage. If it didn't work, don't shame that individual like that. Nobody's condemning you. You don't have the right to condemn anybody else, particularly when that's your brother and sister in the Lord. You don't have the right to do that. Your job is to restore. It said those that are spiritual. Why don't your butt get spiritual so you can help somebody? You ain't helping folks because you're not spiritual. The Bible said those that are spiritual, restore such. Those that are not spiritual, shut up. You're not spiritual. So shut up. Get spiritual. Help somebody. People are hurting out there. They need your assistance. Restore them with the word of God. That's your job. Well, let me pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this appointed time, God. We pray that some of this information will hear, will get to the hearers and get to the listeners, that they may grow thereby. Father God, we thank you and we ask for your strength in these times when our relations are not working because of the things in our society today. We ask that the word of God be prevalent among us, that your blood heal us, that you heal us from these wounds that we have had over the years, and we give us the heart and the minds and the compassion to forgive those who even hurt us, God, and pray for those that despitefully use, like the word of God says. God, make us more like you, more like your children, God, and teach us, Lord, please, how to love one another in the body of Christ, and particularly in our marriage. Help us to show the snapshot of your family, God, to present our marriage a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, and blemish, God. Help us, God, because we need you today more than ever, God. Come in our lives, Lord, in a real way, God. Help us, God. By your Spirit, Lord, help us today, God. So we thank you right now, God, for even this program, God. We thank you for our producer, God. We thank you for everybody who's in our listening family, God, and everyone who's hearing my voice that's married or thinking about getting married. Lord, help them search the scriptures and give them the identity card of what to look for, God. Get involved, Lord, and intervene in our lives in a positive way like only you know how, God. In this prayer, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, Coach Eric, I mean, I just had to let him just go on. Amen. He's so passionate about not only marriages, but because of the things we've experienced, he just wanted to get the knowledge out. So I was so encouraged tonight. And again, every show I'm learning and I'm growing, even though I'm coming on the air to you guys. So look, again, we love you. Know that we're praying for you. We're praying for successful marriages. We're praying for the safety of families and children. And we're praying for your prosperity. We're praying that you have no lack in your life. Amen. We're praying that you get even closer to to God despite of what your situation may be, because Jesus is truly the answer. So listen, PJC Media Worldwide, we have such a loving, loving family, and we want you guys to tune in and listen to these other shows. We have Dovetails with Deborah. That's on Sundays at 2:30 p.m. We have Right Stuff with Parker J. Cole. That's Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. Let's Talk About It with Jenny White. That's Fridays at 8 p.m. The Parker J. Cole Show, that's at Saturdays at 2 p.m. Don't forget that this is the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. That's on Mondays, every Monday, 7 p.m. I pray that something was said that encouraged you on tonight. I pray that something was said that went into your heart and pierced the very area that may be disturbing your life in the name of Jesus. We are just grateful for the Marriage Playbook. We love all of you. And look, we're about to close out. Don't forget, next week we're going to have a dynamite show. It's called Choose Courage with our guest Rhonda Brunson from Texas. We're going to talk about domestic violence. I mean, this is going to be a super show. You know, anyone that is suffering in that area or have not been healed in that area, trust me, this woman is going to come on. She is phenomenal. We met her last summer at her big event here in Philadelphia called Emerge Philly. So she's going to be on the show next week. You do not want to miss this. Call in with your questions, your concerns, anything that you know that would be a blessing to those who would hear your testimony. And listen out. We got some great testimonies that Coach Eric and I are going to share personally on next week concerning domestic violence. Again, this is the Marriage Playbook. We love you. Again, like us on Facebook. And we just thank you again for all your love and your support. So, look, we're out. Yep. We love you. Good night, everybody.
Night. Well, folks, that's all the time we have left in this game.
Yeah, but the season is not over. We got more games to play.
Well, we thank you for spending your Monday evening here with us at the Marriage Playbook.
We hope we've encouraged you with some strategies that will give your marriage the win.
All right, so let's have a good week of practice, and we'll see you at game time next week on the Marriage Playbook.